Attention to perspective, looking past the surface. When you fix your attention on love, you'll be changed from the inside out. Cast your nets in the deep waters where you'll find more than enough. There's something in the ceiling, and I don't know what it is, and Carolyn's dying. No, she's gone, and I didn't sleep at all last night. I heard her calling through the slipstream, and I laid awake all night, and when we got the phone call at 3:09 a.m. that she was almost gone, we talked and talked and talked about the years with her. We were sure she was gone and thought we were awake all night, but then we got the second call 4 hours later that she was gone, and it woke us up. And then we decided there was no more space for sleep, so we got up for coffee and sat down. And then we heard the thing in the ceiling, in the box around the wood stove, stovepipe, something trying and trying and trying to get out, and it just can't. And I know I need to try to help, but I just don't want to face it. There's something in the ceiling, and the cat knows it well, and it's been up there for a few days now, but it started in the bathroom during the polar vortex, and I thought it was in the vent, and the cat told me it was in the shower, and then after a while I didn't hear it anymore, and I hoped it had found its way out. But then a few days later, I heard it in the kitchen walls, and so did the cats, and they pointed at it with their faces and with their ears. There's something in the ceiling, they said, and it's traveling every day, and this morning it's in the box around the stovepipe. Pay attention. Pay attention to the deep waters. Pay attention to the trapped being in the ceiling. Pay attention to the woman whom I've known for 20 years, and the entire time she's been trying to heal from something or other. Constant damage, constant repair. There's something in the ceiling, and I'm the one who might be able to help. I put a chain ladder in the box around the stovepipe several years ago when we heard the mice trying to jump out, and I haven't heard any mice trying to jump out since, but this thing can't seem to jump. I think it might have wings, but it can't seem to fly either. There's something in the ceiling, and today is Wednesday. It's my day off work to write my sermon and then make jalsa for my small group and to celebrate the year of the pig. But now there's something in the ceiling, and Carolyn has died, and my head is full of many things and so very weary from lack of sleep. Today is the day I reserve to write my sermon, the sermon I have wondered why I volunteered to deliver, the sermon on paying attention, the sermon I have known exactly what I want to convey, but as of yet have no words to assign. If I could sing a few songs, show some amazing photos that portray that which is deeper than we routinely see, I could do that. But how do I convey the idea in words that we need to look deeper, look closer, look farther than the surface of what is immediately present? How does one give up their entire lucrative business to follow the person who says such amazing things that we want to believe? What ties faith and attention together? What keeps us wanting to share the good news of the love that binds us together? You're an amazing writer, they say. You'll think of something. But it seems the times I write are the times I'm most exhausted, the times I've waited for the last minute, the times I've avoided the thing that I've been paying attention to but is still in the ceiling, the times when you wish you'd been a better friend to that friend who's so hard to be a friend to because that friend is constantly healing, constantly healing, constantly healing, but then suddenly they aren't. There are so many reasons to not write something off as normal or as impossible or as undesirable. There are so many unspoken cries for help, cries for love, cries for acknowledgement. Pay attention. Pay attention to what does not immediately present itself. Ask questions. Offer invitations. Be uncomfortable. Pass no judgment. Here's a story I wrote for my freelance writing assignment in my Writing for Pleasure course when I was 16 years old. I still have it. And the sequel. It seems important to share it with you today. The song. Once upon a time, there lived a man in a forest. Not an old man or a young man. He wasn't fat or skinny, just an all-around ordinary sort of man. The only extraordinary thing about him was that he had a plant in his house that could sing. Whenever the full moon shone on Thursday, it would sing all night. The man would stay up and listen to it. It sang very eerie, strange, soft, and soothing music. After listening to it, the man felt like he could do anything, even destroy the wild woozles who gave him so much trouble. But he wasn't a very adventuresome man and didn't like to go far from his cabin. He would always start out the next morning to hunt woozles, but when he got about a mile from his home, he would suddenly remember that the woozles were very dangerous and only knights should hunt them. So he would always turn back, and the woozles would come and pester him again. They would catch his chickens and tie all their feet together and throw all his watermelons over the cliff and eat all his mushrooms. Of course, he would never see them. They did all this at night when there was no moon. But always 1 week before there was a full moon, they would stop all that nonsense and not come out again until another week after full moon. So the man would completely forget about them for a while until they came back, peskier than ever. This went on for a few years until one Thursday night there was a full moon. This didn't happen very often, and the man took full advantage of the situation. He pulled up a chair and sat down by the plant to listen very closely because he always had a feeling that it was trying to tell him something. This time the plant didn't start singing until midnight, and it was the weirdest song that the man had ever heard. After a few hours, the man was so engrossed in listening that he suddenly was singing along. It seemed that he was finally sort of understanding some things the plant was trying to get across to him. But soon it was morning and the man had lost the meaning. He was very humiliated. He could not remember what it had sung. He was sure that it had nothing to do with the woozles, but something far more important. Still, he could not remember what. He finally got so exasperated that he yelled at the plant, and the next day it was dead. He cried all day and begged for it to come back to life. It just got browner and more brittle, so he buried it. After that, when the man walked by the grave every night, he felt the song coming to him. Each night it got stronger for years and years until he felt that he knew it well. That night, it was Thursday. He sat down by the grave of his plant, and suddenly the song came to him, wilder than it ever had before. He stood over the grave and sang for hours upon hours. Soon he noticed that his legs were growing together, and they had bark on the outside. Leaves came out all over the rest of his body, and he was still singing as hard as he could, but suddenly the song stopped. And all that an ordinary person could see, if they had walked by, was a very large plant, with its leaves rustling and shimmering under the full moon. And a week later, the woozles came and climbed the small tree and played tag in the branches. Over my head, I hear music in the air. Over my head, I hear music in the air. Over my head, I hear music in the air. There must be a God somewhere. Over my head, I hear music in the air. Over my head, I hear music in the air. Over my head, I hear music in the air. I don't think that was a song, but it fits. The second song, written by Wilma Herder, October the 15th, 1976, writing for pleasure, freelance number 4. A long time ago, there was a huge forest, and in this forest, there lived a king of all the trees. The reason that they had made him king was because he looked different than all the other trees, more like a plant. And another reason was that he made strange singing noises whenever there was a full moon on Thursdays. And all the animals in the forest loved him, especially the wild woozles. They were always climbing around in his branches, but they were never around when he sang, which was very seldom. This tree was getting very old, and each year it grew another foot. When it was nearly 100 feet high, it started acting very strangely. Its branches would move when there was no wind, and it seemed to move from place to place. The other trees were wishing that it would sing again because the woozles would always eat the best fruit and dig the best roots and even strip the toughest bark from a few trees whenever they came to the king tree. But they would never hurt the king, only have fun in the huge playground it provided. But the tree never sang anymore. There hadn't been a full moon for 37 years now. The other trees were wondering if there would ever be a full moon again. After 8 more years, 8 plus 37, they decided there wouldn't be. So they thought up a way to get rid of the woozles forever. They would simply drag them far into the ground with their roots. When they had finished their unpleasant task, they thought, well, that's the end of that. Soon they had completely forgotten about the woozles because now something was definitely wrong with their king. He was always very restless, often moving from place to place. One Thursday night, the full moon shone on his branches, only his, and none of the trees surrounding him. They heard him singing a song, the most beautiful but most desperate they had ever heard. The next morning, or was it many days later, they couldn't tell, the trees woke up. There was no sign of the king. However, when they looked a little harder, they saw a huge dead tree which bore a strange resemblance to their king. The wisest of the trees told the rest that it was their king gone to rest. One Wednesday, 45 years later, there was a forest fire. Men desperately tried to put out the fire, but it was no use. In 1 week, all that was left of the forest was one huge dead tree untouched by fire. The men all marveled at this tree, for it had been in the heart of the forest. The next night, 2 large old woozles crawled out of the crack at the bottom of the tree's trunk, and a family of 5 young ones scuffled out after them and crawled away under the light of the full moon. Pay attention. Be astonished. Tell about it, says Mary Oliver in her poem, Sometimes. Sometimes, by Mary Oliver, in 7 stanzas. 1. Something came up out of the dark. It wasn't anything I had ever seen before. It wasn't an animal or a flower, unless it was both. Something came up out of the water, a head the size of a cat, but muddy and without ears. I don't know what God is. I don't know what death is, but I believe they have between them some fervent and necessary arrangement. 2. Sometimes melancholy leaves me breathless. 3. Water from the heavens, electricity from the source, both of them mad to create something, the lightning brighter than any flower, the thunder without a drowsy bone in its body. 4. Instructions for living a life. Pay attention, be astonished, tell about it. 5. 2 or 3 times in my life, I discovered love. Each time it seemed to solve everything. Each time it solved a great many things, but not everything, yet left me as grateful as if it had indeed and thoroughly solved everything. 6. God, rest in my heart and fortify me. Take away my hunger for answers. Let the hours play upon my body like the hands of my beloved. Let the cat head appear again, the smallest of your mysteries, some wild cousin of my own blood, probably. Some cousin of my own wild blood, probably, in the black dinner bowl of the pond. 7. Death waits for me, I know it. Around one corner or another, this doesn't amuse me. Neither does it frighten me. After the rain, I went back into the field of sunflowers. It was cool, and I was anything but drowsy. I walked slowly and listened to the crazy roots and the drenched earth laughing and growing. Cast your nets in the deep waters where you'll find more than enough. You may find something other than what you seek. And in our attentiveness, may the light of love pour in and out of the cracks in each of our hearts. Amen.